What's that?
Ooh,
what's the thing?
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's all right.
The smile was my initial reaction, so
okay.
Yeah, I like it, yeah.
That's honestly what I'd go for, then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's no, I think it's solid, man.
Thanks,
that was
appreciate
really cool.
It.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, how do you make an intro? You know, you just
right.
sit down, and you're like, what do I do? And I just fart around for however long until I was like, mm-hmm. this sounds all right, you know? And then
yeah.
when I play for people, they're like, okay.
Short and sweet, man. Yeah, and it's, I mean, you know, it's not like just a standard, like, couple of chords. Like, it's actually
yeah.
A little something different.
A little,
you know?
Ditty.
Yeah, a little ditty. For sure.
All right. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Musician Stories. My name is Chris Mitchell, and I'm the lead guitar player from Four Times Ladder. Today, we have a member of the Head Trips, Lance Batten. What's up, dude?
What's up?
How's it going?
Good, man.
How was your drive over here?
Dude, actually, my drive was really nice.
Yeah?
I was like, yeah, dude, it's beautiful. I mean, cutting through Cuyahoga Falls and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Go through the park. It's a really nice day out and everything, you know?
Yeah.
The rain stopped. And,
it's a beautiful day out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So for people who don't know, kind of explain, you know, when I saw you, you're the bass player, you do mm-hmm. multiple things, you know, even how old are you? You know, start there even.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm 24 years old. I've been playing music consistently. It's making me feel old already, but I've been playing consistently for about eight and a half years, yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah, so right now I play, well, my main instruments are, I play bass and I sing. I can do a little bit of drums too, you know, just to like, I mean, I got the rhythm section as, you know, kind of my foundation.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I do.
For reference, the reason I met you, or the first time I saw you, was when you played the Outpost, I think a week or two before we did. And we went over there. I vetted you with Steve. We're like, let's check out the venue. Let's go check it out. And we went and we saw you play. And dude, what a show. It was
Thanks,
so
man.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure to watch you guys. So genuine on stage. You're such a good guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to have him on. I gotta talk to him. I want to pick his brain a little bit.
Yeah. No, that means a lot, man. And I mean, getting to meet you and everything that night, like, I wasn't even expecting Steve to come, but then,
yeah, I mean,
I saw him, and he introduced me to you, and it was really a special night. I mean, I love playing the Outpost, and just getting up there on stage, and giving it all I got, that's what I love to do when I'm playing out, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. So you alluded to it, 8 years ago, you started playing an instrument, and that instrument was it the bass?
Yeah, I started with the bass.
Okay,
yeah.
What was your first bass?
My first bass was, a all black Dean bass, like just a basic, you know, starter thing with a little like bedroom amp, like
yeah.
a little 10 watt. I think it was a Dean amp too. Yeah. And I picked out that bass specifically. I mean, for one thing was like, you know, I didn't really know anything like about the technicalities of like, you know, instruments and stuff. And
sure.
So it's kind of just something where like, I told my mom, like, I want a black bass, you know, for Christmas or something when I was younger, because I had it for a while. But it was the same bass that the guy in Guitar Hero 3 used. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And that's something too, I guess, where I'm talking about like my origins getting into music or whatever. I can explain a little bit more, but I saw that and I was like, yeah, I want a bass that looks like that.
Oh, that's cool. Do you still have that bass?
No.
No? What happened
no,
to
it? That bass, well, eventually I upgraded, and it was something where, like, I traded it in to get something better, which, yeah, I know, I mean, it's, like,
yeah.
the trade-off of, like, I don't know. I wasn't, like, super attached to it. I mean, I think the story is cool, but
yeah.
I'm really happy with the P bass I ended up going with that we were talking about before we went on here,
yeah.
and now I have my Stingray. Super happy with that one, too. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
Well, you kind of talked about it, but, you know, what was your upbringing, you know, the Guitar Hero stuff and anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what
yeah.
was, like, around you, you know, was there a lot of music? What got you into playing?
So Guitar Hero is definitely a part of it.
Okay.
Speaking of, like, stuff that was around me, I mean, I grew up in an environment of music, like, people that loved music. My mom and my dad both... you know, big collection of records, and I mean, always like just naturally just like, you know, playing music around the house or like when we were driving, like I remember having some CDs in the car. You know, my brother, when he got to a certain age, you know, started getting CDs, really started getting into, you know, like hard rock, eventually some rap music and stuff too, like kind of a, you know, like a pretty wide palette. And even like some older siblings too, I had, you know, like some, other styles of music being thrown at me too. But really, like, yeah, like, with whether it was my siblings or my parents, like really like creating like this timeline of music for me to explore, you know, or maybe not so much creating it, but like presenting it to me, you know, obviously my parents being older. So like a lot of like real throwback stuff, you know, my dad, when he was in high school, was the late 60s. So stuff going back to that time period and even a little bit earlier on, all the way up until present day, like really getting some, you know, in-depth perspective through them and exposure through them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so growing up with that all was, I mean, really special. And like looking back, I'm like super grateful for all of those, you know, influences, whether it was those people or like the specific music they showed me too. You know what I mean? But then, yeah, I mean, so I guess like because obviously I brought up Guitar Hero before, but, you know, like my brother and I like playing video games growing up and stuff. Honestly, stuff like, you know, something as simple as like a game soundtrack, for example, like not even like think of a Guitar Hero. Like I remember ATV Off-Road Fury, for example, had like Alice in Chains and Soundgarden. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, oh my God. What like, a throwback.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like something like that. Or like, obviously, you know, you get the sports games. Madden back in the day really had some like fire soundtracks. You know, they would
throw on
like, I mean, they would have like some punk, you know, like I remember like Rise Against, AFI, Anti-Flag, Green Day. You know, some rap in the mix. So, like, stuff that I was, you know, like, my brother and I were both getting into at the same time, but some things that he would show me, like, later on, too, like, in a similar vein.
Some of those early 2000s games, the tracks on them are nuts. Like, yeah. They're so good. Yeah. And you're like, wait, what? Like,
right.
It always blew my mind. That was always something for me. Yeah. Then when I heard it, I was like, wow, I should learn how to play that. What were some of those big influences, like, band-wise, that, you know, when you were listening to those CDs in the car or, you know, whatever else, what were some of the bands that really stuck out to you?
Oh, man, you know, like I said, because like I was just, you know, I had several different people, you know, like showing me music or at least exposing me to different styles and different artists growing up. I mean, there really was a lot, you know, I mean, I could list off a few. I mean, really, I could go all day, but I mean, just a few, obviously some older like classics like the Beatles and the Who. I remember I actually still have like the classic Queen. It was Queen's Greatest Hits.
Oh, cool.
Or whatever. So like, yeah, Queen growing up was a big influence. But yeah, like I said, other styles too. Like, some of my older siblings, were really into like Bob Marley. And then my brother like got me into like some rap, when I was like in my early teens, but like old school rap too, like Tupac and Biggie, of course.
Yeah.
Some true classics, but, yeah, no, I mean, really just a whole lot of stuff. Like I can just go through the years. And then eventually when I started like getting into music, like more kind of on my own, I mean, kind of on my own, but also too, like with, cause like I said, like with the video games coming out, they were showing stuff from like, you know, a lot of early 2000s, also some 90s music. And I mean, you've heard us play, like, obviously I have a lot of like 90s influence. So like, I think that's really where I started to like find a lot of, inspiration, like almost on my own, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, but then, I mean, like I said, just to recap on it, like Guitar Hero is like a real capsule too, you know?
Yeah.
Cause like, yeah, I don't know, just like growing up, like obviously you go through the game, the whole, you know, each set list or whatever.
They're,
but
they expose you to so much or so many different types of songs and music and Guitar Hero.
No, definitely, man.
Which was something that I'm finding doing these interviews, a lot of people at Guitar Hero. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, cause it's just so versatile and so many, you know, people played it.
Right, and for our generation, I mean, it was just, monumental. Oh, yeah. But
did you play the bass in Guitar Hero, or did you do the guitar?
You know, I was just about to say, no, because I would, I mean, obviously, like, you know, you want to play guitar and, like, do all the cool solos and whatever, you know, but, sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I just remember, it's really funny, because I specifically remember, like, just sitting there, like, sometimes my brother be playing, or even when I was playing, I'd just be like, man, that bassist looks so cool, but, like, no one's talking about him, you know what I mean? And, like, he's just there, because, you know, the guy from Guitar Hero 3, it's like, it's funny. You might even like want to have his face or whatever. If like you need like a picture for this, I don't know if you would, but or if you want to pull it up for reference,
I definitely will. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, just the long hair, and he's just like sitting there, just like, well, he's not sitting, he's standing there, just doing his thing, you know, playing that.
Oh,
yeah,
this
dude. Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
Yeah. And I remember just seeing him and I was like, dude, yeah, that guy looks badass, man. And no one's talking about him. I was like, dude, I want to learn the bass because it's like, I have all this, like, all this reference for like the guitarist, and like you can customize your guitar and you can wear different outfits, but this guy just, he doesn't care. He'll wear the same thing every set and he'll just be rocking away, man. And yeah, So that's, yeah, that was like a very specific, a very particular reason why I like started off with the bass I did and the fact that I got into bass guitar to begin with. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That's yeah. really cool.
Oh yeah, man.
So you got the bass and you started playing it. What was your favorite album or song to play to? What was like the first stuff you started learning?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess to get into that a little more, with like I was saying, like stuff where I kind of started branching off and like looking into music on my own. That's kind of where I started with like when I began playing bass. So like a lot of stuff from the 90s and just to list off a few more things specifically like growing up that inspired me or a few more artists that inspired me growing up. You know, stuff like Green Day's like Dookie, yeah. for example, like that was a really big album. I remember like sitting down and like really trying to like learn the songs from that. American Idiot 2 and like, you know, Nimrod and stuff. Like I really got into Green Day early on. And like going off that like, you know, more like punk and even grunge tangent was like with like Nirvana, Foo Fighters, who I know you guys like,
oh, yeah.
you know, emulate a lot of, Offspring. Yeah, really like a lot of 90s bands too. I could really like rattle off. But I remember like with those four bands in particular, going in on like specific albums of theirs, like Foo Fighters, Color in the Shape. I remember going through that and just,
oh, yeah.
you know, some stuff that like, you know, it like it would throw some curves at you, but like here and there, like just holding down. Cause you know, like with hard rock and stuff, you're doing a lot of like, you know, like root notes with some noodling here and there. But then, I mean, like with, I mean, you know, Chris Novoselic from Nirvana or like Mike Dirnt from Green Day, for example, it's like they'll branch off a bit, you know? Yeah. And so I think guys like them, you know, or like even listening to like older stuff like Ramones and the Clash for more punk reference or like Steve Harris, like Iron Maiden. Oh, man, like him, too. It's like he'll noodle. You know what I mean? And so, like, I feel like I had like these influences like early on where like I was really getting a good foundation with more like punk type stuff. But also I could hear like some people would really branch off and, you know, kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
And to a more extreme end, I would get something like where I'm listening to the Chili Peppers, you know, and Fleas, yeah. like just
oh,
going,
geez.
I mean, he's
yeah.
just doing his complete own thing. So I was like, okay, that's a possibility too, you know? And so, yeah, I feel like it was, yeah, that was kind of like my core.
Yeah.
I don't know, at least like some of that stuff. I know I kind of threw a lot at you, but
no,
you know.
No, it's good. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So learning that, were you self-taught? Did you have a teacher? How?
Yeah, you know what? So when I originally got my first bass, that Dean bass, I was, oh man, I honestly don't even remember exactly how old I was. I might have been like 9 or 10, maybe 8, 9 or 10, something like that. And I went to like one or two lessons at Guitar Center actually, but
okay.
Yeah, back home in Youngstown, I went to Guitar Center there for a couple lessons, and then I just didn't play it for a while, you know, and then like early on in high school, I just, you know, kind of had like that teen angst type thing, and I was just like, I wanted to like just, you know, go and do my own thing, and playing music was my outlet, you know, and
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I did teach myself from that point. I mean, I looked up like some scales, and, you know, I basically just... I never formally learned how to read music, actually, but like I learned how to like just read tabs and understand, you know, some basic scales and stuff. And then again, I went and listened to these albums, you know, I would just put in Color in the Shape and like I would look at the tabs and I would just follow along. And then eventually I would just try to play the songs without tabs. And at some point I was able to, I mean, like I still have to look up tabs sometimes for like some tricky things, but at some point I was able to, you know, like do a pretty good job with just like listening to the music and being able to find the notes on the bass guitar. And I feel like that was like a real big developmental step. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And yeah, and then just, it was just a lot of practice, man. Just sitting in my bedroom and, you know, strumming or
yeah.
picking.
No, fair enough.
Yeah.
So you said you've been playing for 8 years. How long have you been playing live in front of people?
Yeah. So honestly, not too long after that. Yeah, I started playing, let me see, it was the end of my freshman year in high school. And then... let me see. I'm trying to think. So formed a band in high school. I think it was like the summer going into my sophomore year. So yeah, it was like maybe like 4 months after that. And then maybe like a month or two after forming, we played our first show. So yeah, probably about 8 years ago with that as well. You know,
wow.
Yeah, probably 6 months or so after I started playing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And how many, well, I guess in that first band then, what kind of stuff did you guys start off with? What did you play with?
So that was like, kind of like I was saying, like my foundation with some of the music I listed that I, you know, specifically like sought out when I started playing was kind of what we played as a band. Like it was a lot of like punk and alternative type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of, yeah, like the styles we went for, you know, a lot of that like 90s, 2000s alternative punk, a little bit pop punk too, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And so now you're in a band called The Head Trips.
Yep.
Right. How long have you guys been around?
Yeah. So The Head Trips has been around for, let me see, like 3.5 years now.
Wow. That yeah. long? That's
yeah.
awesome, dude.
Dude. No, yeah. It, hell yeah. It's really weird though, obviously, because of the gap with COVID, because like there was,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, pretty much like a year where we weren't playing out.
I was going to say, so you guys
plus.
Had a year of playing and then you didn't, right?
Yeah.
There's that one in between.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the timeline was weird, yeah, because, like, yeah, we had that first year of playing and, like, really picking up momentum, and then, yeah, no, and I guess I can even go into, like, telling you the story of, like,
yeah, how'd you
how
guys
that came
form?
To be and everything. Yeah, yeah, so, like, right after my high school band dissolved, like, let me see, it was, like, halfway through my freshman year of college, my undergrad, I started jamming with my buddy Chris, and for a while it was just us doing drum and bass, and I was working on some... just like some new ideas I had, you know? And Chris and I had jammed a little bit in high school, actually, like when I got started just with playing to begin with too. So like, it was kind of interesting having that connection with him, and he's one of my best friends. So that connection was really special too.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then we just developed chemistry and just started working on tunes. And we cycled through a few different people for guitar, and eventually, a mutual friend between Ethan and I recommended Ethan to me. And so then we
and
met.
Ethan's
and
your
like,
guitar player now, right?
Ethan's a guitar player now still. Yeah, yeah. And Chris just recently joined back. I don't know if you saw on Instagram
know.
Or whatever. Yeah, yeah. He just recently came back because we need another drummer. And yeah, it's exciting to have, you know,
yeah.
him back in
the OG's
group.
Back.
Yeah, the OG's back, man. Yeah. Yes, sir. Return of the Mac, you know. But what was I saying? No, but when Ethan originally joined, though, it was like the stars aligning, you know? And
yeah.
from that point to when we recorded first album was like 6 months. Like, Ethan, because it was just like, we just met stylistically, and as a group, like, our chemistry was really good and everything. And Ethan also recorded the album, mixed and mastered it and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He's
wow.
like, he's going to school for that,
oh,
for music
cool.
production, yeah, at Stark State. And
did he use Pro Tools, or was he Studio One?
I forget exactly what he used, honestly. I don't want to, like, go on the record saying the wrong thing, but...
Fair enough.
Yeah. But, no, but, I mean, he just, you know, he just did his magic. We recorded in Chris's basement and, at his dad's place. And so, for the reference to the timeline, it was, like, end of 2019 when we
okay.
started recording.
Right.
And we finished early 2020. And then, dude, yeah, like I said, the timeline got real weird because then COVID hit. We had, like, some of our best shows right before that.
Yeah.
And, we were going to drop the album that spring. We moved it to the end of the year because we wanted to get something out there, you know,
yeah.
but yeah. And then basically just as, you know, in 2021, as things got better, you know, we started getting back to shows, and here we are now. We're able to play out and everything, and it's you know, it's nice.
Oh,
you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, you know, you've played a long time, started the Head Trips, 3 years. What's your favorite gig story with the Head Trips?
You know, honestly, I have two. I'm gonna go with one that's like a like more of a serious one, and then one that's a really fun one.
Yeah, all right, I'm here.
So yeah, well, the first one actually was the show you were at, honestly, and like obviously you know because you were there, and I said something about it on stage, but yeah, that ended up. I mean, that was a really tough day for me. You know, I was working that day, and I was subbing at one of the schools in Kent at the middle school, and you know, I got the call from my mom. At first I missed it, and then she said, you know, it's urgent, you know, call me back. And one of my neighbors, who was older, you know, he was 87, but he was, like, starting to pass away. And so I pretty much told, you know, some of the teachers what was going on and dipped. And then I went back home, you know, and that was just obviously a really tough time. But, like, I wanted to be there for, you know, my neighbor.
Yeah.
His name was Jack. I wanted to be there for Jack and his family, you know. But I also, you know, I felt like I needed that show, you know, and I just... you know, because like I said earlier, like I leave everything on stage, you know what I mean? And like sharing the stage with guys who I really care about, guys who I love, you know, playing music and with the crowd, you know, and with everything. It's just like, you know, that whole experience is really special to me. And I feel like I needed it. And so, you know, I was there with them for a while. And, you know, I told them, I was like, you know, I was like, I'm gonna dedicate a song to Jack. And then I went back. We had the show, and you know, we played one of our originals, "Peace of Mind," and I dedicated that to him at the end. And that was a really special moment. And we had a moment of silence before that too, which was also a very special moment. But the whole show, I mean, like, I love playing there and everything, and like just being with people and seeing family that came into town to come, you know, watch me play. Like, my parents came in and some of my cousins, and like seeing you guys unexpectedly, you know, and like other friends and stuff. Like, it was just really special, and I needed that, you know.
Yeah,
I needed that. So
it's an outlet, right?
It's an outlet, man. Yeah, definitely.
You need it a little more than you realize, you know.
That's awesome, man. I know you understand that as a fellow musician, you know.
Oh gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of our last shows we just had, it was awesome. It was much needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much needed to get up there and just kind of, you know, do your own thing and all that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, it doesn't even have to be like, you know, some really intense thing. You know, sometimes it's just like you just have a weird day. I mean, at least for me, it's like I feel like you have a weird day and it's like, man, I just like can't wait to get to that show later. You know what I mean? I just can't wait to just expend some energy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just need to like break a sweat and just go up there and have fun. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just need that.
Yeah, totally agree, man.
Yeah,
totally agree.
But so getting into my fun story now. Yeah.
I'm ready for it now.
Oh, yeah. No. So I met some guys who went to Penn State, actually. I met them like late last year. We were playing at this place called the Wick Yards in Youngstown, which is an awesome DIY venue. It's an old funeral home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you guys will have to get in there. We'll have to play a show together sometime,
definitely,
honestly. Yeah, because, the guy who runs it, Eric, is like, I mean, he just, you know, he does a great job with it. You know, really does a lot for the scene there. But we were playing there, met these guys from State College. My friend Emery, who plays in a band, Outrun Infinities, you know, still, he's not going to Penn State anymore, but, like, you know, still around. And my other buddy, Andrew, who actually just recently moved out to California, met them, and, you know, we just stayed in touch and everything, and we were talking about setting up more shows. And early this year, I went there with another band I was playing with just for a brief stint. I was just singing vocals, and the first night was really crazy. I'm going to keep it as I want to tell the head trip story, but like the first night was really crazy and a lot of fun. And I was like, yo, guys, definitely want to come back here like with the head trips when we can. So let's make it work, you know. And then we went back like I think it was like a month later or something like that with the head trips. And let me tell you, man, so because, you know, like with house shows, man, it was like the setups sometimes are just so wonky or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a little cramped basement, man. Little cramped basement. Right. But, you know, people pack in like sardines. Like the first show was packed, man. Like it was, you know. It was pretty beefy down there for sure. But this second show, man, dude, like I remember at one point, like I was outside with the guys and like we were just, you know, chilling and we were trying to go in to like see one of the bands that were playing. Dude, I like couldn't even get back in the basement. Like it was just like it was jam packed, like even more so than the first time. So that was crazy. Just the fact that like, I don't know, we drove all the way out and we were just like in the middle of Pennsylvania was just like constantly in the back of my head is just like, this is wild. Like I'm just way out here with these people, you know what I mean? And like, I don't know, like I knew Ethan pretty well. And like, you know, by that second show, I knew Emery and Andrew like better, but like, I don't know. It was just kind of funny. I was just like, all right, like we're out here, you know?
That's
but,
great.
But then dude, like, yeah. So, it wasn't Outrun Infinity that played the night. It was Andrew and Emery were playing in another band called Scarlet Thorn.
Okay.
And, dude, when they played, bro, it was pretty nutty. There was, like, obviously it's a basement, right? So it's not that big, like, even, like, with the ceiling and everything.
Yeah.
But, dude, there was a cat, like, there was a guy. This cat was, like, crowd surfing. He was crowd surfing, and his, like, head was, like the ceiling was, like, right there. You know what I mean? Like, right above his head. It was just so wonky. And then we get up after them because we were closing and crazy show, man, just like a ton of energy and everything. Like State College definitely throws down, so that's my shout out to them right here. But these two shows really exemplified. But this second one, dude, was like there was the crowd surfer, the moshing was crazy like it had been the first time, but maybe even more so because there was a hole in the wall by the end of the night. So you know, that really sets a tone. It really sends a message with that. But yeah, and then we all got like pictures, like there's some pictures floating around of like my face in the hole and like the sound guy's face was just in the hole. And like, yeah, it was, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's my fun story, my State College escapades, you could say.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you said this was in the basement of what, a funeral home?
No, no. So I met Andrew and Emery at the funeral home in Youngstown.
Okay.
But this was in the basement of some dude's house.
Okay. I get
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I think they called it a dumpster fire.
Okay.
And it lived up to the name, I think, in the kindest way possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you have pictures from this?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Please send them over. I'll put them on the website. And all
okay.
That. Everything we talk about, I'll definitely try to put up on the website.
Sweet.
As much as we can.
Yeah, yeah. Some visual references.
Sure. That's great, man.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah. Yeah, we've posted some pictures and stuff, but I have more I could definitely send you, like some really wacky stuff.
Please do, yeah. Mm. Have you gone and seen other live concerts? Bigger names, smaller names, any of them that like really stick out to you that was like influential to your playing that you're like, wow, like that's something that I want to try to be, or, that was awesome. That was such a great experience.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like I can go on and on, but I'll try to keep it, as brief as possible while still,
send it.
Yeah. 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 Still touching some good bases. I guess like starting like with some real big shows, I think it was really cool, like, because I ended up getting to see like Green Day. Like,
awesome.
I've seen them 4 times. Yeah. And that's always great. Like, I always thought that was cool because I remember after the first time I saw him, I was just like, man, like, or no, even while I was seeing him, I was like, man, I've watched so many videos of these guys like playing, but like, and they looked so amazing. But seeing them in like real life was just like still like just electric. You know what I mean? It was electrifying. Seeing like them and like Weezer and The Offspring, I got to see them front row. It was interesting. It was during high school. It was front row for their 20-year Smash album anniversary tour, and
oh,
it was
wow.
their first show in the United States for that tour, and I was like front row for it in
oh
Pittsburgh.
My gosh,
yeah.
Where was that at?
Stage E in Pittsburgh.
Okay,
yeah. So. Love the Berg and love Offspring. Yeah, it was that was fucking sweet. But obviously with those being like some of like my early influences as I was learning to play.
Yeah.
Seeing them, those bands in person, was really special. Seeing some other like musicians too, though, like growing up that like would play like different styles. Like I saw Santana a few years ago at Blossom.
How was that?
And that was amazing. Oh my God. Yeah. Santana was like, what was interesting about that show, dude, was like, you really felt like the crowd was like on the same wavelength. Like it's really hard to explain or put into words, you know what I mean? But like, you could just feel this overarching, energy that Santana was projecting. And it was just like being like, reflected, reciprocated by the crowd, you know what I mean? And, even just like just people like dancing and just like the freedom, like you could just like kind of feel it,
yeah.
And another thing too that was that like I think really hits the point home here was I was there with some friends. Ethan was there with me too and a few other friends of mine, and we were just in the lawn, but I had some of my family like a little bit like higher up in the lawn. I don't know if you've ever been to Blossom.
Blossom's a great venue.
It is, it's amazing. We got like Blossom and then Star Lake out by Pittsburgh, and they're like both like the big, like, pavilion, like, amphitheater types. Beautiful places. But, I went up to go see some of my cousins and, like, visit with them a bit, listen to some music. And then I was coming back down to, like, where we were standing before with my friends. And I saw, like, some people salsa dancing and stuff. And you know what I mean? And just, like, just sharing that space together, as a crowd. It was just, like, it was just so special. You know what I mean? And so I think that show specifically was, like, really cool too. Some of those like other older influences I have like that I got to see was really neat too. Like I went with my dad last year to see Alice Cooper.
How was that,
dude? That was awesome. He played at they have this little like amphitheater in Youngstown that's actually a really nice venue, and he was awesome, man. He's he's up there, man, in age. I mean, him and Santana both, but they still got it, they still got it, man. With him, obviously it's the theatrics, it's the makeup and the imagery and the costumes and set pieces, and I mean another artist too, actually, I just saw very recently, I've seen him twice now, it was Rob Zombie. And it's like, obviously musically kind of different. He does more of like the metal, a little heavy metal here and there. And same thing. Just like the theatrics and the performance of it, Yeah. And so, Yeah, I mean, I think those shows have even pulled different things from. Like I said, Santana, I feel like the sense of community and whatever, that's like, I feel like when I try to communicate with the crowd or like even just like with our music, it's like that's, you know, I want to, you know, exemplify that in my own way and in our own way.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I don't dress really like Rob Zombie or Alice Cooper unless it's maybe like a very, very special occasion. You know, I'll like have some... if it's like a Halloween thing, maybe I'll have my face painted or wear an outfit or maybe throw on some eyeliner or something. I don't know. But, you know, I think there is something to be said too about just, you know, the performance. It's like, I mean, like when I was younger, even like I was in some plays and stuff, you know, and I did like some theater, you know, theatrical related stuff. And yeah, the performance, I feel like some of that is ingrained in me from the music I've listened to and things I've done. But like seeing it on stage at these shows was like really cool, and definitely, you know, it's given me some ideas and has inspired me. Yeah. And then I don't know, I guess to wrap this little segment up, I probably should mention like the first rock show I ever went to, which was AC/DC actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
And that was in Pittsburgh too. That was about, let me see, they released their Black Ice album, I think, in like 2007, and so I probably saw them in like 2008 or something, so I was about 9 or 10 years old.
Gotcha. Are you from Pittsburgh?
That was awesome. No.
There's
no,
just a lot of Pittsburgh stories. A
lot of Pittsburgh stories, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I'm a,
are you
a,
from Youngstown then?
From Youngstown, okay, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I guess if we go into it enough, I'll have some Cleveland stories too. But, yeah. My dad lived out actually in Pittsburgh area for about 15 years too, though. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I need to go on record about sports or anything. They'll probably upset some people.
Nah,
but
good.
I'll just say I'm a Pittsburgh guy. But,
fair,
yeah,
fair.
But... also going out there, I love the city, and they have some awesome music venues. Love going to shows there. I feel like the music scene out there and like the energy you get from the crowds is actually really, really awesome too. Like, just bringing back, like I saw Green Day. Actually, it was Green Day and Weezer for this show. My second time seeing them on that tour for they did that Hella Mega tour with Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And dude, the energy at that show in Pittsburgh was just, it just hit different. You know what I mean? And, yeah. Also, PNC Park's just beautiful. Like, it was a great time. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
All right. So you're on your way over here. You said it was a beautiful drive. It was awesome. It's a great day out. Awesome. What are you listening to in the car now? What's like the go-to music when you get in the car?
Well, so for today, actually, I was gonna mention this before, but I was actually listening to a podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess just getting in the headspace, or that was part of that. But like, also too, just like, I don't know. It was Kevin Hart being featured on Joe Rogan.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I listen to Joe Rogan for, like, specific people he features.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I saw that there was, like, a Kevin Hart one
or
whatever.
Did you get to finish that Kevin Hart one?
No, I didn't. I got about, you know.
So good.
Yeah. No, it is. It is really good, yeah.
That guy's work ethic, unbelievable.
It's awesome, yeah. And
it's inspiring.
It is.
It really is.
His work ethic and his outlook, I feel like, on people and life.
Yeah.
And himself and his situation. Yeah, it's awesome. I was... feeling inspired, you know, before this.
I could be wrong, and I, you know, I don't know if this is right for the record. I think Kevin Hart was on there twice, and one of them is after the car crash that he was in, or he was injured, and he kind of gets a lot into his outlook on life, and it is
interesting,
really, really wild.
Yeah,
it's really cool. So definitely check it out. And maybe he's only on there once. I can't recall, but it's so good. I love listening to him in interviews and all that.
Yeah, no, hell yeah. Yeah, me too. I'll have to, you know, keep an eye out for that. Maybe that's a little bit further
I'll find
in the episode.
It. I'll
or
send it to you if it's there or not.
Yeah, or if it's a separate episode, yeah, let me know, because I don't know if I saw it. I think I only just saw the one episode with him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
so are you a big podcast guy?
Yeah, you know, I wish I took time to listen to more
sure.
podcasts, because, like, there are some that, like, it's like I'll check them out, and, like, I intend to listen to more of them, but, like... I don't know. Sometimes I just don't, I guess, because I mean, like, I'm a big music guy too. And, you know, sometimes it's just like, I feel like it's easier to like just throw on an album or like throw on some songs or whatever, you know, but like at the same time too, I do love podcasts, you know, if I just gave more time to them, that'd be cool.
I feel the same way. I'll start listening to one and I'm like, this is really cool. It's really cool. And I'll get like 3 episodes in a row, you know, when they come out in the week. And then I just like, put on an album, like you said.
Yeah,
like you just kind of
sure.
you almost lose it sometimes.
Definitely, yeah.
All right, well, what albums are you putting on in the car? What songs? What are you listening to right now?
No, yeah, I was gonna say go back to that. So lately, I don't know. Like, It's funny. I don't know if this happens to you, but like part of like what I'm listening to, I feel like in some ways inspired by like the seasons, or like especially when the seasons are changing and stuff. You know, I feel like I start to transition from certain styles that I might be listening to more just because like it's the summer and I want just, you know, stuff that's like I got the windows down and like there's a breeze and like, you know, I might be listening to more chill stuff in the summer, but like I've been starting to listen to like a little bit like more like heavier music since like, you know, fall's coming. You know, weather's gonna be colder soon.
Sure.
But yeah, I've been listening to like some just like some metal, like Metallica, Slipknot. I'm actually going to see Iron Maiden next month too.
Oh really?
In Columbus, which I'm super stoked for. Yeah. It's like them and Pearl Jam are like top of my list right now with like bands I would love to see. But I'm so excited for that. But so I'll probably be spinning them here pretty soon. I also just went and saw Nothing and Boris in Cleveland. And so I love Nothing. My older cousin, Justin, showed me them. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
I'm not familiar, no. What kind of stuff are they?
They're like
they play?
You know, dreamy shoegaze mixed with like grunge and a few other styles. Yeah, they're really good. Yeah, but I've seen them. That was my second time seeing them, though. And so I've obviously had them in the mix, you know, just whether it was getting ready for the concert or like kind of like that concert hangover period.
Yeah.
But also, too, we're working on getting some more covers in the mix with Head Trips. We're going to be diving into like just like some different Nirvana songs. So I've been playing them a little bit more. And so Ethan has his own band. I don't know if I've mentioned that to you before.
I don't think so, no.
Or I know I mentioned you like having him on the podcast eventually, which would be cool. But and he'll definitely talk about this, obviously, from his perspective. But his band's called Franklin Dead Rose. And they have music. Well, he has music out for that, too, if you want to look it up. But, I've been listening to some of that lately because I also play bass with him. And, we're you know, working on, you know, jamming out some of those songs and possibly recording again in the near future with that. That could possibly be a good segue into talking into that. However you want to take it. So, yeah, I also play bass guitar for Ethan's band, Franklin Dead Rose. He's had that project going for a while, actually, even before the Head Trips. So I guess speaking of like, you know, like my high school music experience, you know, Franklin Dead Rose was his experience, and he's, you know, carried that on today, which I'm really glad he has, man, because like it's awesome, honestly, his music. Like one part of it, like it's really cool playing with him and playing on his songs. Because musically, man, it's just, I don't know. I mean, he's a musical wizard, but like his stuff is just like really just fascinating, like song structures. And I mean, stylistically, it's like, you know, you got a lot more like 70s, like jam rock influence, you know, but you also get like kind of like bluesy and like.
Yeah, I'd love to have him come like, on at some point.
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and he'll probably be able to explain it better than me, but like it's just such an interesting like
fun to work with.
Yeah, it's an interesting project. Like stylistically, the chemistry, like the band we have is like really cool for that. But dude, I think what's really fascinating about it is like how it has gotten me out of my comfort zone and how it's made me a better musician, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I've, you know, obviously done a lot on my own, you know, through my high school, you know, music endeavors and with the Head Trips. And I feel like the Head Trips really elevated me too, because like by that point I had just, you know, learned so much and like was challenging myself as a musician, but really challenging myself with Franklin Dead Rose too, man. Yeah. And I'm super grateful for that. And
so you're definitely the front man in Head Trips. How did that come about? When, you know, did you sing in past bands? Were you always kind of the singer that you were like, hey, you can kind of sing, and they just kind of had you do it? Or, you know, did you ever take vocal lessons? Where did you kind of inspire to be like, yeah, I'm going to be the front man and the singer?
Yeah, you know what? I never did vocal lessons. When I was doing like some like theater, like classes and clubs and stuff or whatever you want to call it when I was younger. I mean, I did do some singing in that. But, in my high school band, I sang and played bass. And then with the Head Trips, again, we just started. It was just drum and bass.
Right, yeah.
And then, then we had, you know, Ethan in the mix. And Chris and I had already worked on a bunch of songs. So I was, like, singing on those already. You know, and that's why the first album is more, like, of, you know, my singing and stuff. Because it's, like, songs that we had worked on, just Chris and I.
Right.
Or, like, I had lyrics for, you know. But Yeah, Ethan and I, yeah, it's like, I'm primarily, you know, the front man, but like we also share the vocals as you, I mean, you've heard that in the head trips too.
True, yeah.
And then, yeah, with FDR, that's like, you know, his thing with, he does the vocals and guitar and keys, because again, he's a music whiz.
That's cool.
You know, music, yeah, I mean, he's just, yeah. I don't even know how to put it into words, you know, but yeah, I mean, like on the album that he released, well, he has an album out and a couple singles, and I mean, he recorded it all himself, doing all the instruments and everything. So yeah,
oh, wow,
a musical whiz.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely have to pick his brain. I'm curious as well. A lot
yeah,
about that.
Not for sure, man.
You guys have a great stage presence, though. You know, I was alluding, thanks, you know, earlier, you guys genuinely come off as genuine. Seriously.
I appreciate
it's
that,
it's a
man.
Pleasure to watch you guys, and it's a lot of fun.
Dude, I was going to say, too, though, I mean, you know, just like right back at you, honestly, with like, you know, appearing as genuine on stage, but also like being genuine guys, you know, with Four Times Louder. Cause
oh,
like,
thanks, man.
You know, yeah. Now that I've seen you play too, like, I mean, you guys put on a hell of a show, love the covers, and like, obviously your originals too are really solid, you know, really enjoy your music.
Oh,
but,
thanks.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just, you know, it's a pleasure knowing you guys, you know, and getting to work with people like you, you know, other bands and artists who I feel like, you know, I can absorb stuff from them that I learned, whether they're like, you know, at the big, you know, Green Day, Alice Cooper, yeah, Santana level, or whether it's, you know, on the level that we share, you know what I mean? I'm super grateful for that.
Yeah.
And those, you know, the people that I'm working with, like you guys and some of my other friends and other bands and projects, those are the types of people I want to be around with in general, but like those are the types of people I want to work with, you know?
So yeah.
I'm really
That's
grateful
a great
for
point.
That.
I'm glad our paths have crossed.
Yeah, same yeah. man. Yeah, this is awesome. This right now and also in general, it's awesome.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. But and on that note too, I mean, even just this last summer, I started working with Sedona, which is a Youngstown-based indie rock band.
Okay.
And I actually met those guys. It's funny too. I met those guys at the first State College show I was talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It was so funny, just in that sense too, because like, you know, I'm from Youngstown originally, and, you know, those guys are from Youngstown. We met, like,
oh, wow,
3+ hours away,
that's,
you know, in a different
yeah.
state. And I was like, oh, that's so funny we're here, you know? But, yeah, no, so I met them, you know, I met them earlier this year, and I'm trying to think. We set up some shows for, like, early summer, and around that time, I started to really, you know, gel with the guys more and just get close, like, I mean, you know, as musicians, but also just as people. I mean, especially with like Harrison and Grant, and then eventually when Jared, who's playing guitar with us in Sedona now, he joined, like, you know, we've been getting to know each other better too. But I mean, with you know, with Harrison, like, I remember just kind of having a similar discussion about that, about like, you know, trying to surround yourself with people who will bring out the best in you, you know what I mean, and who want the best for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, also want to like learn from you in return too. And we were just both on the same page with that. And yeah, at one point he asked me if I wanted to like fill in on bass, you know, with Sedona. And I've played with them for a few shows. It's been a lot of fun. Kind of getting me out of my comfort zone again. This time, like, really in terms of style. Cause like I said, they're an indie band. So they do a lot of indie rock, alternative type stuff. Really cool music, you know, that Harrison has written and that we've all, you know, worked on. But, yeah, I mean, that's not like the stuff I started with. Like, I started off, like I said, with punk, alt rock, and grunge, you know? And so just like really figuring out how, you know, for one thing, like really listening more on like how the bass sounds, you know, and like in indie music, but also too, like figuring out how I want to play it and put my own spin on it. And I actually got a chance to do that recently with a recording. I had a chance to do that recently, you know, to kind of, you know, put my style on display. We went and recorded the first single with Sedona, and yeah, that was a pretty cool experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How long did it take you guys to do the single?
So we did the instrumentals in one day, and the second day we did the second session we did just a few days ago, and we got the lead vocals down, and I don't know if we got all the backing vocals down yet, so it's still kind of in like the final stages of the recording process, actually. But yeah, it's called Yacht Club, and it's a cool tune.
Nice. Yeah, really. So like, is it out right now or?
No. It's yeah, it's still got to go through like the finishing touches and stuff. Fair. You know.
Oh yeah, you just said you guys a couple days ago did the finishing recording stuff. So
for the vocals, yeah. I had to leave early that day though, so I'm not sure like where exactly everything ended. Yeah, but yeah. it's I got to record all my parts and stuff. So
well, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun.
Do you have a lot of experience with doing recording with your other bands and stuff, or was this kind of? I mean, obviously you did it with the Head Trips, but
yeah. So I haven't recorded anything with Franklin Dead Rose yet. Like I said, Ethan has done all that himself so far.
Cool.
But then, yeah, with the Head Trips, we did the album. And then in high school, we were trying to record at one point with my high school band. It kind of just fell through, but like that experience was really valuable, you know?
I feel like it got
me ready. By the time I was, you know, recording for Head Trips, I felt pretty comfortable because I was like, I've been here before, and like it went well the first time, at least for me, you know? And so
I think it took Four Times Louder a year and some change to write and record a full album. I think we could do it in 3 to 6 months right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's
that's
such
exciting,
a
yeah.
learning curve.
There is.
Right?
Oh yeah,
when you're
definitely,
doing all
yeah.
that, you're like, oh
yeah.
Okay.
Right. No, for sure.
You
for sure.
Kind of get to it.
Yeah. No, learning, I mean, learning the craft in that sense with recording, because it really is a whole different beast.
Oh, absolutely.
Live performances versus recordings. It's a completely different animal with recording, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, and so it's like, yeah, there's definitely a learning curve. And also, too, I feel like as, like, you're trying to progress as a musician and, like, record maybe something that's more complicated or something that's, again, more out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that kind of meets with the learning curve at some point, so you're, like, still challenging yourself.
But I think what's wild about live and studio is, you know, you can have 6 or 7 shows in a couple months. It might take you a long time to get that 1 or 2 songs out for recording it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you can really experiment with like, oh, okay, we're going to do this live. We're going to do this. Let's see how people like it. Oh, they love it. That's awesome. Or, oh, they didn't like it. Let's never do it again. You know, where you get done with that song, 3 to 6 months go by and you put it out and you're like, I hope people like it. You know, like,
right.
Usually it's good. Sure. But
yeah,
it just that process is always very different. So a couple more questions for you. Give me like a 3-4 months, you know, out for the Head Trips. What are you guys up to?
Yeah. So, like I said, we just had Chris come back to the band as a drummer. So super thankful for that. And, we're just getting him like readjusted to it. You know, he's finding his comfort zone again. And so, you know, we have like another, I think like 4 or 5 shows coming up here, leading us through to the end of October. So, you know, in that time, we're pretty much getting Chris back in the rhythm, and you know, we're gonna round out those shows possibly for the year. I think we might have like 1 or 2 more sprinkled in, you know, in the last couple of months. We'll see what happens with that. But I mean, outside of that, we're also kind of capping shows because we want to transition back to recording, actually.
Yeah.
Because
because
I mean, you know, we have our debut self-titled album out. And for anyone listening, it's out now on all the major streaming platforms. So you can go ahead and
I'll link it on the website.
Go get there, check them out. Give it
it's
a listen.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
Good
Thanks,
stuff.
Man. Thanks, man. Yeah, appreciate that. Oh, yeah. And, you know, we just want to keep the momentum going because it's been a little while since we've, you know, recorded and had an official release of new music. So I think we're going to be going in and recording an EP at the end of this year and hopefully releasing it. I mean, I don't know when it'll be done, honestly. I mean, like, I imagine it won't take long. It's just, you know, it'll be shorter. But, you know, maybe release it, like, early next year or, like, spring of 2023. And then at some point next year, get into recording for album 2.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really exciting, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's where we're at, man. It's, you know, it's looking good moving forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's exciting, right?
Yep.
It's just fun.
Yep.
All right, last question for you. Any advice for future musicians?
Yeah, so I thought about this because because I know, like, you know, you sent me that as a question that we could possibly go over today. But also, too, we recently had that article published by Voyage Ohio, and that was, like, something that I talked about in there, too, is, like, advice for other musicians. And a few things I did want to mention that I had said in the, you know, article, and I just think are really crucial. Communication is key. Just really in relationships in general, you know, yeah. But I mean, your bandmates, you know, with other people you're working with the crowd, that communication is like on different levels, communication is really important, you know? And yeah. So I think that's definitely something to be mindful of, you know, whenever you can. I would also say too, cause like I talked about obviously like my history with the band and my history with music. I would say for aspiring musicians, start off as early as you can, you know? And that goes with, you know, learning an instrument or starting a band, you know, or starting a music project, you know, start as early as you can. And then, you know, branching off from that, like we talked about earlier, you know, surround yourself with people who are going to bring out the best in you and who you can give your best to comfortably, knowing that, you know, it's going to be reciprocal. That relationship's going to be back and forth. You know, people who care about you, don't waste your time on people who are just, you know, I mean, who are going to hold you back or, you know, even if it's something that like, you know, they're not like trying to be negative towards you, but like, it's like, you're just on different levels. You know what I mean? Just again, communication is key in that process. Like, you know, talking about your ideas and your goals and figuring out, you know, where you want to be. And, you know, if you have to make some changes, do that, you know, because it's like, you know, that's just that's part of the process, you know, and it'll save you time and it'll save you, you know, possibly missing out on opportunities, you know, it could save you from that too. So, yeah. So communicating, you know, use your time wisely, surround yourself with people, you know, who are looking out for you and everything and who you really care about. Yeah.
I think that's all great advice.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'd take that advice. I'm going to take it now.
Go ahead, take it.
It's
here for the taking.
No, I love that, man. All right, dude, we're pretty much out of time. So anything you want to talk about or plug at the end? You know, you talked a little about stuff coming up with the head trips. Anything else or any other like secret stories you want to tell? You can throw it in here real quick. That's fine too.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I guess just to mention it again, with some of the other projects I'm working on, like with Franklin Dead Rose, we're going to be recording again soon. And, you know, I got to shout out Ethan because he's been such an inspiration for me musically. You know, he's very much like the Lennon to my McCartney, I guess. And, I mean, his music is incredible. That. Definitely check that out. We're going to be recording more soon as a band. Very exciting. And then with Sedona, the other band I play in, Harrison's an awesome dude. I really love his music, too. It's been great getting to know him, you know, so well in such a short time. Him and the other guys, Grant and Jared, too. We just recorded that single Yacht Club and we got more recordings coming up soon too. I think it'll be an EP to start. So definitely want to mention that. And then finally, yeah, like I said, with the head trips, obviously that's my baby. You know, you can find us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. We do have that self-titled album out on all the streaming platforms, all the major streaming platforms, I should say. And, we're going to be recording, an EP very soon for the head trips. And then, next year, getting into recording album 2.
Beautiful.
That's that.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Dude, thank you so much for having me.
I hope you had a fantastic time, and I really enjoyed talking with you, man.
Yeah, you too, man.
It's been great.
You're a cool dude.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thank you all to the listeners out there. I hope you guys all enjoyed it as well. If you liked what you heard, please like, follow, and subscribe to whatever you're listening on. Please check out the website, all the stuff we talked about. I will try to put pictures and links to everything as much as I possibly can. Whatever's out at the time, it will be out there. And if it's not, it'll be a little box. It'll say coming soon. There will also be a merch page for you know, musician stories, merch, hoodies, whatever. If you like what we do here, you know, maybe check out one of those to help support it. And that's it. So we'll see you next time. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
See ya.